I want to take another Bible reading, this time from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 1, and breaking in there at verse 7. Romans chapter 1. And reading from verse 7, this is God's word. To all in Rome who are called by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish, and that is why I am eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by his faith. Pray that God will bless the reading and the hearing of his word. I want to speak to you this morning on that verse, almost the last verse that we read there, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's almost 50 years now since I stood for the first time in the pulpit of Connor. I was on a list of four preaching for the vacancy, and I felt that I should share with them something of my belief, my approach, my preaching. And I chose, at least for the evening service, to speak on this verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel. A lot has happened in those 48 years to be precise. I would like to think that I have matured and deepened in my faith and understanding of spiritual things. But I want to say also that I stand before you this morning and I am still not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're living in days of great moral and spiritual depravity and deception. Days when The gospel message is downbeat. When Christian things are cast aside so easily, I want to say to you this morning that despite all that is going on in our world today, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I want to share with you the three reasons that I shared with Connor those 48 years ago, and on the basis of it, I got a call to serve there. Three reasons why I am not ashamed to be a preacher of the gospel. And the first is because of the problem that the gospel solves. And I see this as a twofold problem. Firstly, it's a problem from the standpoint of man himself. And it's the problem caused by our sin. It's the question, how can a lost, sinful man or woman ever be reconciled and made right with God? One writer has put it this way: we have a sin debt that we owe to God, but no way to pay it. We have a sin problem, a sin debt. Think of our past. Past sins makes us feel guilty before God. I was tempted this morning to repeat a children's address that I'm quite sure I have spoken about here in Brookside before. And you may remember it. I've discovered over the years that some people remember children's addresses better than a sermon. But I take a calculator in my hand and I asked the boys and girls to imagine that we commit 5 sins a day. Our catechism tells us that we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. Just imagine only 5 a day. That would be a good day. But it's 1,800 in a year. And without telling you my age, it reaches 146,000 over my lifetime. People are not really over familiar today with our catechism. But you remember the catechism teaches us that every sin deserves God's wrath and curse in this life and in the life to come. I wonder how many is on your list. And every single one of them deserves the wrath of God. We all have a past, we have a present, and sin has such a grip on us that we are powerless always to do that which we know is right, and powerless at times to resist doing what is wrong. The Bible reminds us that whoever commits sin becomes a slave to sin. We have a future. And if our sin is not dealt with, we face a hopeless future. You know, the day of judgment will not be a day of sentence. It will be a day to reveal our judgment already. He that does not believe in Christ, as the scriptures tells us, is condemned already. The day of judgment will simply declare the sentence: depart from me, for I do not know you. And that, friends, is our problem. How can a lost, helpless man or woman, a sinner, ever be right with God? But I have also to say reverently that God has a problem with our sin. How can a just and holy God be true to his nature and at the same time forgive sinners? John Stott has commented on this in this fashion. How can God pardon the sinner and punish the sin? In the words of Romans 3:26, how can God be just and the justifier of those who believe? But friends, this morning, the beauty of this gospel is that it solves those problems. It is the power of God unto salvation. In an amazing exchange, God takes my sin, all 146,000 and more, and he lays them upon Jesus. And Jesus bears in his own body, as he died on the cross, the just consequences of them. And back to my children's address on the computer, and there it is before them, 146,000. But then I point them to a little button on the side, and it's red. It has the letter C on it, and they know that that means cancel. And when I touch it, 146,000 becomes zero. That is what happened when he who knew no sin was made sin for me. And God can now accept me on the basis that Christ has paid the price. He has borne in his own body on the cross the wrath and curse of God due to me. Instead of me bearing it, he has borne it for me. God can therefore be just and true to his nature and the justifier of folks like me who have come to believe in his Son. You'll know the hymn, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior." So I stand before you this morning as one who's not ashamed of the gospel, because I'm proud of the Christ of the gospel. Not ashamed because of the problem that it solves. But I move on, secondly, because of the power it supplies. It is the power of God. There's no greater power than that. And literally, it is the dynamite of God, the explosive power of the gospel to set me free from sin's powerful grip. Think of my guilty past. The message of Christ crucified sets me free from the guilt of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin deletes, cancels. They are now a zero. Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice beside. Or as another hymn puts it, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And think of my present life. Sin enslaves, but the gospel sets me free, free to live as God would have me live. Christ sets you free, then you are free indeed. The gospel can make a drunkard sober. It can turn a violent man or woman into someone who is gentle, someone who is harsh into someone who is kind. As Wesley puts it in one of his hymns, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. And when we think of our future, sin condemns us to a lost eternity. But the gospel sets us free from such terrible condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Friends, it's no wonder that I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Not ashamed of our tremendous Savior who solves the problem of my sin, who provides me with power when I feel at times so helpless. And finally, a third reason. I'm not ashamed because of the people that it serves. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is to everyone. Just as everyone is guilty before God, deserving nothing but his wrath and curse, for we have all sinned, we have all come short, there are simply none of us who are righteous. So the gospel is for everyone. No matter who you are, no matter what you have been, no matter your past, no matter your present, the good news of the gospel is for everyone. There is only one condition. It is for everyone who believes. I preached the bones of this sermon in Conor over 40 years ago. It was also the occasion of my first attempt at telling an amusing story. I can't remember whether people smiled. I doubt whether they laughed. You may have heard the story. It's the story of an open-air preacher in Hyde Park in London. And he was preaching away, and he had managed to gather a small crowd. And as he preached, a little man in the front of the crowd kept piping up in a Cockney accent, which I wouldn't dare try and imitate. "Governor," he said, "Christianity's been in the world for 2,000 years, and look at the state that the world is still in." Now, apparently in Hyde Park, you don't respond to people who try and interrupt you. And so the preacher went on, but this little voice kept repeating, "Governor, Christianity's been in the world for 2,000 years, and look at the state of the world." Eventually the preacher could take it no longer, and he stopped and he looked down and he said, "Yes, my dear man, but water Water has been in the world much longer than that. And look at the state of your dirty neck. You see, the remedy was there. And all it needed was a little personal application. And that's true of the gospel. The gospel of Christ meets our every spiritual need. It deals with our guilty past, our powerless present, our hopeless future, but it's not automatic. It needs a personal application. What must I do to be saved? Asked the Philippian jailer. You must believe on the Lord Jesus. No, that's not enough just to believe in your head. To believe on Him implies movement. Implies faith and trust. Remember again your catechism, faith in Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive Him and we rest upon Him alone for salvation freely offered to us in the gospel. I wonder, friends, have you ever done that? You've been faced with that challenge many, many times over the years from this very pulpit. The challenge to receive Christ as your Savior, and the challenge then to rest, to depend upon Him alone for your future. Have you ever made such a deliberate, personal response to receive Christ as your Savior? The remedy is still available. All it needs is your personal response. There you have it. Three reasons why I remain unashamed of the gospel. It solves our deepest problem. There is no other answer to the problem of sin. It provides us with power to live. No greater power than the power of God to live a life that is clean and acceptable before God. And it's for everyone, everyone who believes, who has received Christ, and who rests upon Him alone. Are you with me in this? Can you say quietly in your own mind, even at this moment, I am not ashamed of the gospel? Surely if you have known the experience of it in your own life, you can join me. I am not ashamed. But if you have never come to faith in Christ, if you've never received Him in an act of personal commitment and response, if you are not now resting and depending upon Him alone for your salvation, then why not make it real this morning? Why not receive Christ as your Savior? And then for the rest of your days, you can depend on Him. And you can join me this morning and say from your heart, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. to everyone who believes. Let's pray. Father, our hearts warm to this glorious gospel. Our hearts warm to this glorious Savior. We pray just now that your Spirit will confirm this word in the hearts and minds of your own dear people. And if there is anyone here this morning who has never received Christ and is not resting upon him alone for their salvation, grant our Father by your Spirit that you'll give them no rest and no peace until they have come. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.